Amen. I'm going to invite us to remain standing for our gospel reading this morning that comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. I invite you to hear these words of Jesus. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to pray with me. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, and the one indeed who calls us to love our enemies. Amen. This scripture this morning kind of concludes a bit of a three-week series that we've been doing. Jesus said what? We started with a couple weeks ago talking about do not be afraid. Reverend Gourmet preached last week about blessed are the poor. And then we have these amazing words of Jesus. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, we have what probably is about the full text maybe of what would have been Jesus' stock sermon, the message that he would have preached probably over and over again during his three-year ministry. In the Gospel of Luke, we have a bit of an abbreviated form of it. It includes some of the Beatitudes and some of the other information and teachings that Jesus offers in the Gospel of Matthew. We see here in what is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain, noting that this is coming from probably a different location where this sermon is being and message is being remembered. But I imagine at this moment when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's got the attention of everyone. If they were fading, which never happens in a sermon, if they thought that maybe he should have ended the sermon 5 minutes earlier, when he got to that, I have no doubt he caught their attention. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Check, please. You know, that is really hard to hear. It's easy to say, right? It's easy to say it, but what a challenge it could be at times to live it. Because if we've been hurt, we don't always want to be gracious in return. You know, if we have felt that pain, sometimes we want to be a little Old Testament where it says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You cause me pain, I want to cause you pain right back. Or the lizard brain mentality that we'll hear about as well, that fight or flight. And so as Jesus speaks these words, he speaks these words to a crowd that no doubt has Roman soldiers in it as well, keeping the peace the way that Rome keeps the peace by crucifying innocent people and exacting death for almost any crime. He is speaking these words to a group of people who have been defrauded in times of their life, who probably had a friend betray them, living in small towns where the grapevine and gossip passes quickly. And so families may be fractured and divided because of words that were spoken, whispered stories and accusations. Love our enemies? Did you see what they just put on Facebook? Love our enemies? Have you seen what they just tweeted? It's hard. This is really hard stuff. It's a high bar of discipleship that Jesus is inviting us to do. But I say the word invite, and he's not inviting us, is he? It's an imperative. Love your enemies, pray and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who hurt you. He is inviting us to do something that's very countercultural. He's inviting us and encouraging us and imploring us to act and to live differently. I sometimes do my sermon prep while I'm greeting people before worship service, because sometimes you are God's voice to me. You have the coolest thing that you're telling me, not knowing that I can use it in the sermon. But I appreciate that gift. At the 9 o'clock service, Mark, one of our 9 o'clock attendees, was telling me, prior to even knowing what the sermon was about the study he had read, where they were doing a study about when something happens to us, there is a time frame as we process how we will respond. There's a time frame where we mentally engage in, do we let it go or do we strike back? And Jesus is inviting us to into that space and to say, next time, or maybe this time, let it go. Don't strike back. Break yourself out of that well-worn rut that we live in the midst of our world, which is if somebody hurts us, we hurt them back. You know, we got to keep things even. He's telling us to live a different way, to be a different model for the people around us. I find it also, I think, very much God's providence that this is the scripture that we're reading during the second day of the special session of General Conference in St. Louis as our denomination wrestles with the Commission on the Way Forward and how we engage in mission and ministry to all the persons in our community. Since 1972, the General Conference, we have wrestled with how to be in ministry to those in our community who are gay and lesbian. We recognize all people as sacred worth. We live in that tension as a church. But also through some of our language and some of our prohibitions, we've also made gays and lesbians to feel very much second-class citizens too, excluded. I thought about when London's sister ran back to her mom and dad during small talk that unfortunately at times those children of our own church that we have baptized who are gay and lesbian have not felt like they had a safe place to run back to. That all of a sudden their church home was no longer their church home. And so part of the conversation in St. Louis is around this kind of a scripture. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. A recognition that we are in the midst of an ongoing conversation around gender and gender identity within our own culture, let alone in the church. Part of the conversation that I am praying for goes back to our series in January when we reviewed John Wesley's three simple rules around do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. I pray that our delegates to General Conference are engaging in those very acts. Yesterday, they spent the day in prayer, praying for God's wisdom and God's discernment. Because this conversation is taking place within our global church with delegates from all around the world, Europe and Asia and Africa, as well as North America and South America. We are engaging in a conversation of what it means to be the church in the communities where we are, in the context to where we serve. It's actually, in some ways, an age-old conversation within the life of the church. We see it expressed in the New Testament, in Acts 15, in the Jerusalem Council, as they wrestled about what it would mean to include Gentiles into the church. Very much a conversation in the midst of the Acts of the Apostles. And then we read in Paul's letters his words of wisdom and affirmation and ministry to the different churches that he wrote to. And he did not write the same letter to all of those churches. He wrote different letters addressing the concerns and the needs of those various communities. We have lived in that tension as a church, as the United Methodist Church, but the church in general has lived in that tension as well. How do we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? How do we live out that greatest commandment to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself? That core of our identity, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our core proclamation. How do we live that out in the midst of the places where we live? In Kenya, That message is lived out differently than in Rochester, or in Amman, Jordan, or in Estonia, or in Australia. We find ourselves as United Methodists always desiring to be in the place where the need is greatest. Because John Wesley believed that's first and foremost where God is already. And shouldn't God's people be there? I have used as a lens in this time, as I prayed for the delegates of General Conference, I pray for our church and our ministry as we live out this call of Jesus Christ. I have used that greatest commandment as a guide for myself. One that I learned first at home from my parents, and certainly learned at the church I grew up at in Detroit at Mount Hope. John Wesley said, to be a Methodist is to love God completely, head, heart, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is to be the guide upon which we interpret Scripture. It's the guide upon which we live out our lives and we engage in the community around us, living out this radical love that Jesus speaks of in the Gospel of Luke. It also gives us a lens into how we interpret the scriptures of the law and the prophets, because that is part of this conversation, is how we understand what it means to be faithful. Faithful to God and faithful to Scripture as we live out our call as United Methodists. I appreciated Reverend May reading that prayer of Bishop Bard, a prayer that is being read in all of our churches in the Michigan Conference this morning. Today is a day of organizing a general conference. On Monday, they will spend time in legislative section working through some of the various plans of how will we engage in mission and ministry in each of our areas, each of our places. And then on Tuesday is when the actual vote will take place. And then following Tuesday, we may know if one of those plans passed and if any passes at all. And then following that, the work continues to be the church, to be in ministry as we are here at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Because the good news of Jesus Christ will still be proclaimed. Our opportunities to engage in ministry with Baldwin Center, with CAS, to prepare our youth for the work trip in South Dakota this summer will continue. The work of our confirmation class as we prepare to welcome 17 of our youth as full and professing members of St. Paul's on May 5th continues. The opportunity that we have to begin this work in a sanctuary to improve the lighting here in the chancel so that when our children are up front, you can see them. What a concept, you know? To have that kind of lighting that will help our choir see the music as beautifully as they sing now. Extra light would be a good thing too, wouldn't it? Amen. I see they're giving some thumbs up. The work of ministry. We are engaging in this week in an opportunity of meeting with a stewardship consultant and well, who is meeting with several focus groups in our church to help us better engage our ministry as we think about our giving as a church and how we connect that to following Jesus Christ. This is the work of the church that continues regardless of what is decided at General Conference. We know this. Our call is to love God completely. It is to love our neighbors as ourselves. It is to be willing to be as bold in our love as Jesus commands us to be in this passage in the Gospel of Luke. Is it easy? No. Will all the questions be answered? No. That I can guarantee you. We will continue to live in conversation and in dialogue around the issues that impact us as a community and as people. But one thing that we will have no question about is Jesus, is his love for us and for all people, his death upon the cross, providing for us salvation, forgiveness of sins, and a new and full life that we would not have without him. The assurance of what it means to be in a community that loves and supports one another. And out of that love and support, which is an expression of our discipleship, engages us into the world around us to care for those who are least and last and lost, to care for the hurting, to care for those who are far from God and are looking for some semblance of love and welcome, a community that would call them friends. That is the power of being in ministry at this very moment within the United Methodist Church, and especially within this church, St. Paul's United Methodist Church. So I ask that you will continue, as Reverend May encourages us, as Bishop Bard encourages us, to be in prayer for our General Conference in St. Louis, be in prayer for our very church as well. Jesus says this. He says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And I think that's our calling, to live out that grace in all the ways that we are able to live out that grace. To be that sign of hope, to be that sign of encouragement in a time that feels chaotic and in flux. God is not in flux, and God's love is not in flux. It is something that we hold on to because we have someone to hold on to. We have Christ as Lord, offering us that safe space so that if we find ourselves up at the chancel and realize this is not the right spot to be, I need to be with my mom and dad, we have a space that we can go. A Lord who will embrace us and welcome us and call us beloved. And it is my hope that you experience that here at St. Paul's, that we are that place for you. A place where God's love is encouraging you, nurturing you, and beckoning you to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We have work ahead of us, but we don't do it by ourselves. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we ask for your presence with us and your encouragement as we have received your love. Your love that has transformed our lives, the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, and the presence of your Holy Spirit speaking to us and encouraging us at each and every moment. Guide us into this week as we boldly love our enemies, as we pray for those who persecute us, as we begin to live and act differently, choosing your grace and not vengeance. Encourage us to be signs of your good news, especially to those, Lord, who are struggling and hurt, feeling disconnected and lost. May we be a sign of your open and welcoming arms. May we be a sign of your grace this week. In your holy name we pray. Amen.